Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 15, 2016. President Salva Kiir says the parliament will decide whether to accept or reject a UN Security Council resolution to send troops to South Sudan.
Assistance requires dialogue. It should not turn into an imposition that becomes an intervention, in which our sovereignty is compromised and our ability to govern effectively diminishes rather than increases.
And a legal expert says the UN Security Council resolution will help the government address security challenges.
Sierra Leone had 17,500 troops, and by the end of that mission, the UN is armed over 75,000 combatants. It supported the holding of elections in Sierra Leone. It even supported the security sector reform and transformation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir says his government has yet to decide whether to accept or reject a UN Security Council resolution authorizing the deployment of 4,000 foreign troops to the country. Mr. Kiir says his government will negotiate with the international community to ensure the country's sovereignty is not compromised. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
The UN Security Council authorized deployment of an additional 4,000 troops to South Sudan on Friday, despite earlier protests by Kiir administration who argued that the foreign troops would jeopardize the country's sovereignty. The US-backed drafted resolution also threatens an arms embargo on South Sudan if it does not accept the deployment. The troops will be deployed to the capital, Juba, and authorized to use all necessary means, including undertaking robust action where necessary to enforce their mandate. In an extraordinary Council of Ministers meeting chaired by President Kiir yesterday, South Sudan's cabinet failed to agree on response to the United Nations resolution. Mr. Kiir told lawmakers today that Transitional Government of National Unity will vote on the matter but did not specify a date.
It is true that Tigono have very serious concerns about the decisions taken by IGAD in its communique of the 5th of August 2016 and on the renewed UNMISS mandate based on the proposal advanced by the United States of America, which was adopted last Friday, the 12th August 2016, by the United Nations Security Council. But we will discuss the details with those of UNMISS, the UN, and its partners to find the best way of implementing and achieving our mutual interests.
President Kiir says if the regional bloc IGAD and the UN send troops to South Sudan to secure peace in the capital, it should be done in consultation with his government.
Assistance requires dialogue. It should not turn into an imposition that becomes an intervention, in which our sovereignty is compromised and our ability to govern effectively diminishes rather than increases.
He says the Transitional Government of National Unity has yet to deliberate on its final position on whether to accept or reject the troops' deployment. He also said certain government officials who have commented on the matter are not necessarily expressing the views of his government.
If there are voices outside there expressing their view on the subject, these are individuals who do not necessarily represent the Tigon and have certainly not been mandated to speak on behalf of the Transitional Government of National Unity.
Mr. Kiir says he worries about the dire humanitarian conditions facing citizens across the country.
I have had sleepless nights and spend every moment of my day thinking about a South Sudanese child who is hungry in the village. I think it is the duty of this House, because all the members, it is now your turn to talk to these people, to come out from the POCs and go back to their villages. There is nothing they are doing there.
11 of the 15 members of the UN Security Council voted in favor of the US-drafted resolution. China, Russia, Egypt, and Venezuela abstained. The new force to be made up of troops from African countries will bring the total number of UN peacekeeping force in the country to about 17,000, which is the largest in the world. The force will operate UN Chapter 7 mandate, which allows peacekeepers to use force to protect civilians and UN institutions in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
A South Sudanese legal expert says the UN resolution to send an intervention force to South Sudan will help the country solve its political instability. Remember Miamingi says the UN has a track record of restoring law and order in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Miamingi says South Sudanese officials should cooperate with the UN to avoid a backlash from the international community.
The government in Juba is deliberately misinforming the public and overreacting to a situation that is absolutely not what is being described. Now, let's look at where the United Nations have carried out similar mandates. Let's start with the mission that we had in Sierra Leone in 1999. And it was a mandate in terms of peacekeeping, peace enforcement to a large extent, but also a mandate of peace building. Sierra Leone had 17,500 troops. And by the end of that mission, the UN mission disarmed over 75,000 ex-combatants. It supported the holding of elections in Sierra Leone. It even supported the security sector reform and transformation. It contributed to infrastructure development and grassroots service delivery in Sierra Leone. It helped efforts that were geared towards stopping the illicit trade in natural resources, assisted over 500,000 Sierra Leoneans refugees to return to the country and rehabilitate internal displaced persons. It actually helped the government to restore its authority in areas of the countries where it could not. Did the UN, by doing this, took over Sierra Leone? Of course not. Sierra Leone is still a country, a sovereign country as it is today, better than it was before the United Nations came in. The same can be said about Liberia, MONUSCO, and DRC. So the fact that the United Nations is coming in to take over a country is misleading. It is coming in to support the country to achieve and discharge its obligation to its citizens, and it is doing this within a clearly defined mandate.
The SPLM in opposition is rejoicing that the UN is coming to intervene. But my understanding is the UN is coming to put order, whether it is the government or the SPLM IO, whoever does not respect international humanitarian law will be punished, so to speak.
The UN is coming in, or the regional forces, IGAD, AU, UN is coming in as an impartial, independent force. And it is coming in on the side of the civilian, protect them, and protect the integrity of the country against anyone.
You've spoken about the success of UN missions in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, and then at some point they also fought the M23 in Eastern Congo, preventing it from taking over Goma, which is the capital of Eastern Congo.
That intervention brigade, first and foremost, was introduced because of the great danger that M23 posed to civilians that had taken protection in Goma, but also the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And they had very specific mission. They delivered on that specific mission. And we did not hear of the intervention brigade take over the government of DRC. And the lesson that should come here is because of the cooperation of the government of DRC with the United Nations, the success was not only the protection of civilians, but the ability of the government of DRC to deal with belligerent group that was posing civil security to the integrity of the state was also dealt with.
And let's talk about the issue of sovereignty.
The greatest source of sovereignty in a country is the people in that country. South Sudan is almost driving its own people through violence and killing to extinction. So you cannot claim to be sovereign state when the legitimacy to command and have the command respected, what is given by the people, is vacant, as what is happening right now. And that is why the International Commission on Intervention and State Sovereignty in 2001 said sovereignty, it is a responsibility to protect. And if a government is unwilling or unable to provide or to discharge that responsibility, that failure activates a collective international responsibility to protect civilians.
That's Remember Miamingi with the Center for Human Rights, Faculty of Law at the University of Pretoria in South Africa. He was speaking to me earlier today from Pretoria. South Sudan in Focus reporter Tito Justin asked residents in Juba about their reaction to the UN Security Council resolution to deploy troops to the country. Here are samples of responses from South Sudanese in Juba.
About the deployment of the regional forces in South Sudan, one part is that it is important for full implementation of the peace agreement, and this force can keep peace between the two parties that are supposed to implement the peace agreement, because the two still need building trust.
The situation currently doesn't need that level of intervention. There is a roadmap for peace in this country, and that is the peace agreement that was signed. And if the United States and the Western world want to help South Sudan, this is the only way they can help. Let them support the peace and the people of South Sudan.
You have 12,000 troops in this country right now, and if United Nations is proposing to bring in 4,000 more troops to this country, then they should really, you know, tell us that these forces who are already in this country are really incapable of doing what they were brought to do.
If the coming of this troop will bring peace, or this peace be implemented, okay, let them come. But if the coming of these foreign troops is causing problems, as the government is looking at it, let them sit down and negotiate and try to find a way, a good solutions for people of South Sudan to have everlasting peace.
This point, in my view, I would say let them come. Let them come because we were misled, and therefore let us go back. If the reality is there, then it is the right of the weak people to be actually defended, and justly so.
They should have come first to the ground, do an investigation, an assessment of what is really happening. So they went there, sitting there in New York, making a decision of sending troops. We don't need troops. We need assistance. What these people need is an assistance where they can get shelters, food, and that's what we think they should be doing, to empower the humanitarian organization who are here already. We are tired of guns.
These are voices from the streets of Juba reacting to the UN Security Council resolution to send 4,000 troops to South Sudan. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese refugees continue to pour into Uganda. More on that when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you keep your home environment clean?
When I see little or any dirt things like empty plastic bottles, I put them in dustbin.
The way how I keep my environment clean, it's just wake up early in the morning, mops. Then if there is some grasses that is around my houses, I just try to cut it.
I always try to plant trees when I'm at my home. I always plant trees. I always try to make sure that the trees are not cut without replacing them.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Three people were killed and several others wounded over the weekend in Yei River State when unknown gunmen attacked a government convoy returning from Uganda. Local officials say a soldier and two state government officials are among the dead. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
State authorities say the gunmen attacked the government vehicles as they returned from northern Uganda. The officials had been invited by their Uganda counterparts to participate in events in Koboko District marking the World International Youth Day on Saturday. As the officials were returning home, the gunmen sprayed their vehicles with bullets in Jombuboma, Mugopayam, about 19 miles from the state capital Yei. Yei River State's Information Minister Stephen Lado Nesimo says it was clearly an assassination attempt on government officials.
When we look at the vehicles that are targeted, these are the vehicles of the political advisor, the vehicle of the Minister of Education, and the vehicle of the Commissioner of Morobo County. So these vehicles have been damaged, wrecked with the gunshots, very heavy fire, including throwing of grenade on these vehicles. We thank God that the dignitary all came out successful with the minor injuries.
Yei River SPLM youth leader, state education ministry employee, and unidentified SPLM soldier were all killed in the attack. Lodu says the governor's advisor on political affairs, Jackson Abugogama, state education and gender minister Mary Apai, and Morobo County Commissioner Toti Jacob Finosa were injured in the attack. All of the wounded were receiving treatment at Yei Civil Hospital. Government forces clashed briefly with unknown gunmen in Morobo County's Gulumbi Payam, some 6 miles from where the government convoy was attacked over the weekend. SPLMIO Deputy Military Spokesman Dixon Gatluak refused to say SPLMIO forces were involved in the attack on the government convoy, but confirmed fighting took place between government and armed opposition forces in parts of Yei River State over the weekend. SPLA spokesman Brigadier Lulurai Kong says he has no information about Saturday's fighting. Morobo County residents fled to Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo after Saturday's clashes. Luate Daniel says he and many others who stayed behind are hiding in the bush.
I'm within Morobo in hiding. People fear of their lives. They decided to move out of the town. They decided to move to Congo, others to the neighboring Uganda.
Lodu says Yei River State Governor David Lokonga issued a statement over the weekend insisting state authorities are doing all they can to protect civilians.
The government condemned the acts against the government officials. It is not a good intention. We are now in the process of peace, and the government is working hard to bring sustainable peace. And the government is trying to get the grievances of those who took arms to come back to their own places so that they become normal.
SPLA headquarters in Juba issued an order warning soldiers against shooting unnecessarily in Yei River State following sporadic gunfire in Yei town on Saturday night. Lodu says state authorities will punish any Yei resident who does not obey the order.
The people of Yei municipality, you are asked to immediately observe these orders, whether you are a civilian or military, not to shoot a gun unnecessarily, because this you will be subject to an arrest, and you will also be subject to a shooting.
This is the second attack this month in the state. Last month, at least 10 people, including a police officer, were killed in a separate incident in the state after the state information minister said Yei authorities deployed soldiers to track down the attackers. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Humanitarian aid agencies are warning that more than 80,000 South Sudanese refugees are likely to arrive in Uganda in the coming weeks. Aid officials say more than 70,000 refugees have already arrived in Uganda since fighting broke out in Juba last month. Waki Simon Wudu has this report for VOA from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
South Sudan's acting country director for the Norwegian Refugee Council says 2,000 to 3,000 South Sudanese fleeing violence arrive in Uganda and other neighboring countries each day. Enoch Mambili says by December, some 80,000 South Sudanese will have come to Uganda.
As we talk now, over 70,000 have already crossed over to Uganda, and the 2,000 to 3,000 fleeing every day, so the figure is likely to go high.
He says more than 90% of the new arrivals are women and children who have walked for several days to reach Uganda. Most of the refugees come from the former states of Eastern Equatoria and Upper Nile and the capital Juba. UNHCR spokesman in Uganda, Charles Yaxley, says all South Sudanese refugees arriving in Uganda are being registered. Mambele says at least 300,000 South Sudanese have sought asylum in Uganda since the conflict began in December 2013.
There is need for additional shelters to be constructed because they are going to places where there are no basic facilities like shelters, latrines, wash facilities, education is needed, and therefore it calls for consolidated efforts to mobilize resources to be able to support the already impoverished communities.
The Norwegian Refugee Council says eight agencies need $1.3 billion to address the basic needs of the new refugees. Mambele says the government and the SPLA-IO must end the fighting and address their differences peacefully so that citizens no longer have to flee their homes and rely on NGOs and governments of neighboring countries for food and shelter. For VOA News, Imwake Simon Wudu in Nairobi.
Talks on ceasefire arrangement and access to humanitarian aid in war-affected areas of Sudan were postponed indefinitely by the African Union over the weekend. SPLM North and government negotiators accuse each other of not being serious about peace. Nebel Biajo has the story for VOA from Khartoum.
Peace negotiations between SPLM North and government negotiators broke down in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa over how to deliver humanitarian aid to people affected by war in South Kordofan and Blue Nile states. The Sudan People Liberation Movement North proposed that humanitarian aid should come through the neighboring countries of South Sudan, Kenya and Ethiopia, while the government insisted that only internal channels inside Sudan would be allowed. Speaking in Arabic, Secretary General of SPLM North Yasser Arman says the government does not take the talks seriously.
The government of Sudan has no desire to lift the suffering of the civilians. It wants to continue bombing the civilians and kill children in the Nuba Mountains, South Kordofan and Blue Nile.
Arman says SPLM North proposed external channels because they don't trust the government to deliver the much-needed aid to the war-torn areas. He says his party made concessions by agreeing that 80% of aid reaching the two areas would come through Sudan, while the remaining 20% be delivered from outside Sudan through Ethiopia. He says the government is still rejected that proposal. He says the government is still rejected that proposal, causing the talks to collapse. Government spokesman Ahmed Bilal denies that the Bashir administration does not take the talks seriously.
We are so determined and very genuine about a final ceasefire, or something of a solidarity ceasefire. The details under this heading can be negotiated, but we don't want actually things to be said by what Yasser Arman is telling. The government is not genuine about the ceasefire on this.
Bilal says the rebels of SPLM, SPLM North, must first surrender their army before a peaceful settlement can be reached and agreements made on how to deliver humanitarian aid to the two areas.
We think we should be the final round where we negotiate our problems and reach a final decision towards peace. If this is the case, then the step forward will be how they can be part of this, part of the humanitarian aid, whether it's coming from inside or outside. You cannot tell the same thing which are using before. They should keep their weapons, their army, and we have two armies in the country. And this is not correct. We will not agree on that.
The government is also engaging two Darfur rebel groups in a separate track of negotiations for a ceasefire in Darfur. Khartoum-based political analyst Ismail Ibrahim says more efforts should be made to build trust between the warring parties and give the rebels assurances that the government has good intentions.
It is one thing that there are doubts, lack of trust between the two parties, and it is responsibility and the role of the mediators to try to reduce the gap and try to convince both parties so that to take the necessary measures for trust building.
Ismail Ibrahim says The African Union and the international community should push both parties so that they negotiate in good faith and bring permanent peace to Sudan. Before the face-to-face talks began, the warring parties signed a roadmap agreement that laid out steps to be taken to stop all hostilities in the three areas and allow humanitarian access to the affected populations. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. President Salva Kiir is leaving it to Parliament to decide whether to accept or reject the UN Security Council resolution authorizing the deployment of 4,000 foreign troops to the country. On Friday, the Council authorized deployment of an additional 4,000 troops to South Sudan, despite earlier protests by officials in Juba who said that the deployment of more foreign troops would affect the country's sovereignty. The U.S.-drafted resolution threatens to place an arms embargo on South Sudan's government if it does not accept the deployment. The troops to be deployed to Juba are authorized to use all necessary means to enforce their mandate. Mr. Kiir says South Sudan's cabinet yesterday could not agree on a common response to the resolution. Mr. Kiir told lawmakers today that the transitional government of national unity will decide on the matter, but he did not say when that would happen. He called the council's vote very serious, but also called the U.S. a friend. A South Sudanese legal expert says the UN resolution to send a regional intervention force to South Sudan will help the country solve its political instability. Remember, Amia Mingi says the UN has a track record of restoring law and order in places like Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, so South Sudan should be no different. Amia Mingi says it would behoove South Sudanese officials to cooperate with the UN in order to avoid a backlash from the international community down the road. President Kiir says if foreign troops are sent to South Sudan, the deployment should be done in consultation with his government. And finally, humanitarian aid agencies warn that more than 80,000 South Sudanese refugees are likely to arrive in neighboring Uganda in the coming weeks if fighting continues in parts of South Sudan. Aid officials say more than 70,000 refugees have arrived in Uganda since fighting broke out in Juba last month. The Norwegian Refugee Council's acting country director for South Sudan, Enoch Mambili, says 2,000 to 3,000 South Sudanese fleeing violence have arrived in Uganda and other neighboring countries each day. By year's end, Mambili estimates that some 80,000 South Sudanese will have made their way to Uganda. At least 1,000 other South Sudanese have fled to Kenya. Mambili says many refugees tell Ugandan officials that their lives are in danger in South Sudan. And that's a look at some of today's top stories.
And that's our show for this Monday. We now take you back to Uganda for some beautiful melody from Adjumani. We have been listening to Power Stars with that beautiful melody from Adjumani. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.